Thank you. Well, I have good news and good news. Which one do you want to hear first? The good news is that we have one more presentation. The other good news is that I go back home. Isn't good? Okay. It has been a privilege for me, and I know for all the other speakers, to be with you. I'm going to challenge you because it's afternoon, after meal. When people eat, their brain is cloudy. I'm going to challenge you to be awake, and I'm going to have you every once in a while stand up, jump, do something, so then you can sit back again to make sure that you don't sleep, okay? I know Sabbath is for rest, but not during the sermon. Let's bow our heads again. Father in heaven, please prepare our hearts and please give the message according to your love and wisdom, according to our needs. Work with your spirit, Lord, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. This subject is probably, do you have any image? Okay. It's probably one of the most difficult subjects that we God's people very little prepare for. We don't take it as serious as we should. I was in my very first district in one of the churches that we planted by God's grace. We planted a new church in a new location, and actually, rewind, erase what I said. Yes. This story happened before I became a pastor, before I was called to ministry. Sometimes I get the dates confused and my wife has to correct me. I know the story, but I don't remember the time, you know. For me, the story counts, not the date, you know. But my wife is picky with details. And so, back to the story. We owned a business, quite powerful business. We owned a factory making clothing, and we made good amount of money. Roughly we made between $30,000 and $70,000 a day. You heard me. We made a load of money, and I had connections, friends with the prime minister, friends with the chief of police, friends with the mayor, eating together. We had power. I fly with a jet. I had a pilot flying me every Thursday to Bucharest to go to the factories. I had a driver and so on. And in that time, when we owned the business, I started to get involved in the work of the church, doing evangelism, taking care of the youth, organizing mission trips, organizing camping, building churches, and so on and so forth. I was not a pastor, but I was involved in the church quite a lot. Every Saturday night, we had everybody from the church over, and we prayed, talked, studied, played holy games together, and so on. It was good. In that time, one time I was coming from the market shopping. My wife would send me shopping because she knew I would find whatever she asked me to find. She knew if she asked me to buy an elephant, I would buy an elephant. I am exaggerating to make a point. Whatever she asked me, she knew I would get it home. Didn't matter what she asked me, I would find it. So she would send me shopping. And I went to the market, and as I came home, in front of the Palace of Culture, it was like a theater, All the concerts, all the events in the city happened there. In front of the Culture Palace, there was a big crowd, hundreds of people. And I said, man, what's going on? So people are curious. People like sensational. People stop and look. You see an accident, everybody slows down to see the accident, and you have traffic jam, you know. And you have another two, three accidents because they slow down and they hit each other. And people are curious. And so I slow down, I go there, and I look to see what happened. And in the middle, what's the noise? In the middle of the crowd, can you hear me in the back? Yes? Okay. In the middle of the crowd, there was a guy, and now watch carefully. This guy would put his palm close to the forehead of the people, but not touching their forehead. It was like 7, 8, 10 inches away, like so much away. He did not touch them. And as soon as he would come with his hand close to their forehead, in that second, they were thrown away to the ground. They were with a unseeing force, unseeing power. They were thrown away, slammed, bang, slammed to the ground. I was like, what? So I got closer, and as I get closer, he says, who else wants to receive Jesus? Who wants to receive the Holy Spirit? Who wants to be healed? If you have any disease, Jesus is healing you today. Come here. And they would come and say, I have a back problem. Come here. As soon as you would come close, bang! They were thrown away to the ground. Literally, big people. Poo! I was like, wow! And they would get up and say, hey, no more back problem. I said, man, you break their bone when you throw them down. Be kind to them. And then he said, and if some of the ladies, well, listen carefully, want to sleep with me, the Holy Spirit would hover over you and you'll make little babies that would be little prophets because you sleep with a prophet. Really, that's what he said. And I said, hey, you are from Satan, I said. I was not very diplomatic. I just told him what I thought. He says, what? I said, yeah, you heard me. You don't use God's power. You use Satan's power. He says, no, I'm a prophet of God. I said, listen, to the law and the testimony, because if they don't speak that way, there is no light in them. And you'll know them by their fruits. You break the commandments, brother. You sleep with ladies. That's the seventh commandment. He says, commandments are not available anymore. They have been crucified on the cross. I said, no, that's not in my Bible. It may be in your Bible. In my Bible, the law is eternal. Jesus didn't die to abolish the law. If the law could have been abolished, Jesus would not have to die. Jesus died because we broke the law. And I said, you don't just sleep around, you don't steal, you don't kill. You are supposed to obey God, not to be saved, but because you love God. He says, no, God gave me the power to change the Bible. I said, your God is Satan, my God is different. He says, who are you? Come here. I said, I don't want to. I have power over you. I said, you have no power over me. Go from here. I said, I don't want to. Well, I didn't have a lot of brain because the Bible says, do not go there. But that was in my young years, you know. I was crazy. I am even now, but not so much, you know. I kind of recovered a little. Well, it's nice to be crazy. When you are crazy, you can get away with anything, you know. So it's good to be a little crazy. And so, was he performing real or false miracles? No. I saw it. They were real miracles.
Uh-huh.
When Moses went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's magicians came, were they performing real miracles or false miracles? Real. The Bible says Moses, you remember, did it? They did it too. Was not an imagination. Satan has the power to perform miracles. Jesus says there will be false prophets that will perform miracles, even to bring fire from sick. Ellen White says sick will be healed. She doesn't say sick may seem to be healed. No, she says sick will be healed. They will perform real miracles using Satan's power. Jesus performs miracles. Satan performs miracles. Jesus brings revival. Satan brings revival. God's people receive a spirit. Satan's people receive a spirit. In one specific chapter, she talks about fake revivals. And she says, I've seen dark clouds over the world. From place to place, there were lights. I say it in my words. There were lights. I looked and there were people praying and they received the Holy Spirit. And there were others that did not pray enough, did not confess their sin. They had hidden sins and they lived in sin. And they received a spirit too. But it was not God's spirit. Hello? And then she says, they experienced revival too. But it was a fake revival. And they experienced emotional excitement. And they felt good. But it was not God's spirit. How do you distinguish between false and real? Before Jesus comes, there will be a crisis like never before in history. How do you prepare for it? Because if you cannot keep up with those who walk, how are you going to keep up with those on horses? If you don't make it today, regular trials, how are you going to make it in the greatest crisis of history? A crisis, the Bible says, like it has never been before and it will never be after. The greatest in the world history. Are you prepared? He who thinks he stands, make sure that you may not fall. Don't imagine that you are strong and wise and prepared to stand. If you think that way, you are fallen. A different story. I was in Bucharest. I was a college in construction. I was in college in school. I was a student in construction university. I went to a church called Grant. 1,600 members, more or less. There was an old lady that came to church, always in terrible pain. And she had a bag with morphine dripping every a few minutes, a drop of morphine to take the pain. She lived all her life in constant pain. One day, a prophet came to Bucharest and she went there and she was healed and she had no more pain. And she came to church and told the pastor. I was not the pastor, I was a student. Something strange happened. I was healed. It cannot be Satan. It should be God because he had power. But I cannot pray anymore. I have no more peace. I cannot sleep anymore. When I want to pray, I have no peace. When I want to sleep, though there is no wind, the windows open. I close them, the door opens. I close it, the closet doors open. I close them, somebody knocks in the closet doors. I look, there is nobody there. My books jump off the table by themselves. I have no peace. And the pastor said, what have you done? I went to a prophet and he healed me. And the pastor said, it was Satan's power. You invited Satan in your life. She went back home and said, Lord Jesus, please come back in my life. She got peace again. No more windows opening by themselves. But the pain came back in her back. Hello? Another story. Last, I have many, but I'll tell you just one more. This is only the introduction. Another story. We lived in a tall building at the second story, second level, second floor. At the first level, actually the third, you say. The first level, it was a shopping center, a mall. Next level, it was a doctor, Diane, that lived there. Her husband was a computer engineer. Next level, it was our family. Above us, it was a crazy family, evil family. Now listen. We would hear them fighting, screaming, beating each other, cursing each other. And the wife, every day, was blue. Not because she used makeup. She didn't have to use makeup. Her husband gave her makeup. He beat her every day. And poor lady was always beaten. They had two girls. One was 17. She was into prostitution, drugs, witchcraft. And one was 12. The one that was 12 was innocent. The one that was 12 knocked in the door. Knock, knock, knock. I opened the door. Mr. Goya, can you please give us some sugar? Okay, Mona. We gave her sugar. Thank you. Next day, knock, knock, knock. Mr. Goya, can you please give us some oil? Okay, Mona. Take some olive oil. Thank you. Next day, knock, knock. Can we have some potatoes? Okay, Mona, have some potatoes. Next day, can we have some onion? Okay, get onion. Next day, can we have rice, please? I said, okay, have rice. And she says, Mr. Goya, why are you so nice? I said, that's what we are supposed to be like. That's what Jesus told us. Well, tell him that I said thank you. I said, okay, I can tell him right now. Is he here? I want to thank him. I said, yeah, he is here right now. Where? Can you call him? I said, he's right here. And she looks around. I don't see him. I said, well, he's invisible. She says, oh, you are like my sister. You talk to spirits. I said, I'm not like your sister. She talks to evil spirits. I talk to God. She says, are they different? Mm-hmm, absolutely. She says, well, I like your spirits. She says, in our house, it's always fight. In your house, you smile, you sing, it's always peace. I like your spirits. I like your Jesus. I said, Mona, you can have him too. She says, how much of him can you share? I said, you can have him all. And what do you keep for self? I said, well, he can be all mine and all yours. She says, really? How can that be? She had no clue. And I said, come in. And I started to teach her about Jesus. And next day, teach her more. And next day, teach her more. Next Sabbath, she came to church. She started to learn songs from a book called Flowers and Stars. It was a book with songs for children. And then I started to teach her songs. And I started to give her Bible studies. And I started to teach her Bible stories. And I started to teach her Bible verses. And I gave her the book Steps to Christ. And I gave her the book Christ Object Lessons. And she started to read. And she says, you know, now I feel when I pray that your Jesus answers my prayers too. He answers my prayers. I said, praise the Lord. Well, well, well. One day somebody knocks strongly in the door. When I opened the door, her father had an axe that you cut wood with. How do you say axe? He had an axe in his hands and he wanted to hit me in the head to kill me. So when I opened the door, bang! I did that and the axe got into my door. He had shiny, glassy eyes deep in his head. Lost. He looks to me with those crazy, cold, shiny eyes and says, I killed a person. I spent 22 years in prison. I came back. I'm going to kill you and go back to prison. I hate God. I hate Jesus. I worship Satan. I want you to leave my daughter alone.
I don't need Jesus in my house. If you teach her again about Jesus, I will kill you, your family, and then I go to prison. That's what he said. I said, brother, you can say or do whatever you want. He who is with me is stronger than he who is with you. And I'm not afraid of you, and you cannot stop me, teach Jesus, or pray for you or your family. I hate you. I said, I love you too. Bye. My father taught me during communism that if you have a God, you have no fear. When you have fear, you have no God. And he said, they want you to be afraid. Satan wants you to be afraid. But you are a son of the king. Get your shoulders back, get your head up, and tell them, I am a son of the king. So I learned that. So I told the guy, you know what? I am a son of the king. Get away from my door. Well, he didn't allow her to come to us or to church anymore. A few days later, I met her in the marketplace. She says, Mr. Goya, my dad told me that if I go to witchcraft with my sister, he's going to give me chocolate. They were very poor. I said, Mona, do not go there. Well, I don't do anything. I just go and get a chocolate. Mona, give up the chocolate. Do not go there. Well, I'll go one time. They pleaded with me. I just go one time. What can happen? She went. When she came back, she was demon possessed. She had two voices. One voice, Mr. Goya, how are you doing? One voice, deep, like a smoker, like a bass singer. Oh, oh, oh. And that voice would talk once in a while and say, I hate Jesus. And I said, Mona, why would you say that? I didn't say it. He said it. I said, who? He who is in me. That's a real story. One night, I heard her running through the house and screaming. Tup, 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 over our apartment. When we wanted to go to sleep, my wife and I felt a physical pressure pushing our chest to squeeze us that we could not breathe. So we prayed. And when we prayed, the pressure disappeared. As soon as we stopped praying, the pressure came back. We prayed again and said, in Jesus' name, go away. And the pressure left. And Mona stopped running. When we stopped praying, she started to scream again. And the pressure came back. Back and forth, on and off, until 2, middle of the night, 2 a.m. At 2 a.m., we heard Mona screaming, kids, the window from the kitchen being open. Mona's mother screaming, no, Mona, please! And then, poo! And Mona jumped out the window from the third story, in front of the building on concrete. I said, Dana, Mona killed herself. I went to the window and I saw her tummy down. She jumped on her tummy on the concrete. I called 911 while I was talking on the phone with the hospital. She jumped on from the concrete doing that and screaming. They came and they could not hold her still. They had to inject her and tie her. She had so much power. And the doctor said, she has several broken bones, yet she has power that I cannot explain. I went to visit her in hospital. I said, why would you jump out the window? She said, I didn't. He threw me out the window, so I stopped talking about Jesus. I gave her steps to Christ. And she told me next day, every time I sing or pray or read from this book, he goes away. When I stop, he comes back. I said, you need to keep praying. Well, well, well. Next day when I went to hospital, the doctor told me that I am not allowed to visit her because the father came and said, only family can visit her. If you allow somebody else, I will kill you, he told the doctor. So I was not allowed to visit her anymore. And following week, we moved from that place. So I don't know the rest of the story. I am asking you now, is God real? Is Satan real? How do you prepare for the final greatest crisis in history, where Satan is gathered all his power and attack even the very elect. Are you ready? How do you know that you are ready? How do you distinguish between the false and the real? Do you think that you can protect yourself in your power? You need external protection. That's okay. In this conflict, you cannot fight the enemy in your strength. You need external protection. If you think you can win the battle, you have already lost. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts in heavenly places. Spiritual hosts, where? Where? You are here, and the hosts are in heavenly places. You fight here, and Satan is here. You will never be able to fight Satan because there are two different levels. You follow me? You cannot shoot with a gun. You cannot fight with a fist. Because it's about spiritual powers in heavenly places, not in earthly places. So how do you fight? You must be in heavenly places to fight heavenly powers. You cannot be on earth and fight except earthly powers. To fight heavenly powers, you need to be in heavenly places. And so, how do you fight? Listen. False messiahs and false prophets will appear, and they will perform fake signs or great signs. Great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you and me. Something great and decisive is about to take place. The world is on the verge of a great crisis. Religious liberty will soon come to an end. There will be a time of trouble such as never was. The last great delusion is soon to appear before us. Antichrist is to perform marvelous works in our sight. It doesn't say fake. So closely with the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be, read the word. Say it again. What means impossible? It will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the scriptures. The enemy will deceive part of the world. What does he say? What means the whole world? The whole world by his miracle working power. He will personate angels of light and personate even Jesus Christ. Two selected messages, page 96. There will be an emotional excitement, a mingling of true and false. Satan doesn't come to you and say, hate God, hate church. Satan comes to you and says, it's time for us to go back to church. It's time for us to love God and love each other. It's time for us to help the poor. It's time for us to start praying again. But it doesn't matter what you do. God loves you anyway. Do you understand? My father used to say, if somebody would ask you to drink poison, you will not drink it unless you are crazy. But if somebody gives you a good soup and drops only a drop of poison, you will eat it. Satan is not coming with poison. He comes with the truth and he drops only a little drop of poison. It will be impossible to distinguish. If Satan came to me with a $3 bill, he will not fool me. But if he comes with a $20 bill that looks like the real 20, how do you distinguish? Do you understand? Men under the influence of evil spirits will work real miracles. Sick will be healed. Are we prepared? First Testimonies 3:02. It says, for by your sorcery, all nations will be deceived. By the way, the Greek word sorceries is pharmakia. That means anything that medicates the mind or makes the mind confused. If the music makes the mind confused, if the TV makes the mind confused, if too much food makes the mind confused, whatever would make the mind confused, Satan uses to make you not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, not understand the Bible. Now listen carefully. How, can you hear me?
Yes.
Then keep quiet so I don't have to lose my voice. How do you defend yourself?
three strategies. How many? Three strategies. We will talk only about one. We have no time. I'm tired. I'm hungry. So we'll talk about one. If you want to hear number two and three, you go to lexingtonsdachurch.org. lexingtonsdachurch.org. You go to 2014, May 2014, and you find the whole series there. It's called A Hedge of Protection. Right now, we are going to talk about one strategy. And the first strategy, how do you defend yourself? In the Lord. Listen carefully. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Repeat with me. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Is not in yourself, is not in your fight, is not in your experience, is not in your knowledge, is not in your wisdom. It is in the Lord. If you are in the Lord continually, you are in no danger. We used to live, when I was a kid, in a long, like a train apartment. I would go from my bedroom to my sister's bedroom to my parents' bedroom to the living room to the kitchen. And because I eat every 3-4 hours, I do fast too, but not more than 4 hours. Because I eat often, I would go in the night to eat. When I would go through my parents' bedroom, everybody was sleeping, my father was praying. At 12, he was praying. At 2 a.m., he was praying. At 5 a.m., he was praying. I asked him, when do you sleep? He said, between prayers. I said, why do you pray so much? He said, I need Jesus. I said, why do you need so much Jesus? He said, son, whatever part of your body is not covered with Jesus, that part is vulnerable to Satan. If your brain is not covered with Jesus, your mind is vulnerable. If your hands are not covered, your hands are vulnerable. If your legs are not covered, you need to get the armor of Christ to cover you all. Whatever part of your body is not covered is vulnerable to Satan's darts. Did you hear it? My father said to me, do not leave that room without being covered with Jesus, because you are exposed to Satan. And my father said, there is war, great controversy, spiritual war. Do not live alone. Did you hear it? Now listen carefully. Be strong.
Donkey. People are so focused on their plans that miracles, they don't even see them. They don't get impressed by miracles. They do what they do. Miracles don't convince anybody. Unless you follow the word, miracle will not change. Great Controversy, page 593. The great last crisis, the great last delusion, is soon to open before us. Satan will perform marvelous miracles in our sight. Only those who have fortified the mind with the Bible will understand and distinguish the false and the fake in the last great conflict. In the Lord, in the Bible, in prayer. Say it again. In the Lord, in the Bible, in prayer. Unless you invite God's presence every day, unless you study the Bible every day, unless you pray continually without ceasing, you will not make it. You lose your time. Go home, eat pizza, watch a movie, stop going to church, because you lose your time. You will not make it. If you want to be there, there is no room to play. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
It's time for us to focus on God, focus on the Bible, focus on prayer. Do you understand?
Amen.
Okay. Now listen carefully. This is very important. Revelation 13:13. He will perform great signs to even bring fire from heaven. What is fire about? In the Bible, fire from heaven was used to prove God's power, God's presence, God's work. Who is the real God? Elijah said to the false prophets, bring fire from heaven to prove that your gods are the real gods. And I'll bring fire from heaven to prove that my God is the real God. And the one that brings fire will prove the God. You follow me? They didn't manage to bring fire. Fire is to show God's presence, God's work. If you don't mind, I'm going to take this tie off. I am already swimming. No worries, I don't take anything else. Only the tie. And so, my shirt stays. No worries. And so, at the Pentecost, they prayed, they received the Holy Spirit. What happened when they received God's power, God's Spirit, God's presence? What happened? Fire came from heaven to attest that that was God.
Amen.
Now you understand why Satan would bring fire from heaven. He's going to want to say, I am God. Now let me change it a little. There is a verse that says, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me baptizes you with fire and spirit. So let me ask you, have you been baptized only with water or also fire and spirit? Because those that were baptized with water, they got baptized again. Have you been baptized only with John's baptism? Only Apollo's baptism? You need to be baptized again. Have you received the Holy Spirit on your baptism? You remember the verses. When they got baptized, the Holy Spirit came and enabled them for ministry. Have you been baptized with fire? Well, let me explain. When I was a kid, I used to take my grandma's magnifying glass. You know what is a magnifying glass?
Yes.
Older people used to, before they had glasses, that magnifying glass to read the newspaper. I would take my grandma's magnifying glass, put papers on the ground, put the magnifying glass in the sun, focus a small beam of light on the papers, and when I focus properly the beam, you know what happened to the paper? Got on fire! Or let me translate it to you. Whatever you focus on, that's what you get on fire for. You want me to repeat it? Whatever you focus on, that's what you get on fire for. If you are on fire for your job, if you are on fire for your school, that's your God, that's who you worship. Because if you are focusing on God, you are going to be on fire for God.
Amen.
If you are not on fire for God, you have not been baptized yet. You need to pray that God is going to fill you with fire. Because when God's presence fills you, it's like a fire that would burn you from inside and you cannot stop. You tell everybody, even if they kill you. Do you follow me? If you don't have that passion, Ellen White says that those that have been born again, they cannot help but share the good news. And then she says, those that don't have the passion to share, they have never been indeed transformed. If you are not on fire for God, then you are not really baptized. You need to pray that God would fill you with His presence, with His Spirit, with a passion like a fire. Now let me explain a little. There will be also real fire and fake fire. Real revival, fake revival. How do you distinguish between the two? I want to be very clear. Very clear. Listen carefully. How do you distinguish? Revelation 13:8. Listen carefully. I'm going to read the verse. All who dwell on earth will worship the beast. How many?
All.
Okay. All who dwell on earth. That means you and me. Well, let me explain. The word dwell in Greek means to think of, to focus on, to live for, to live in. Those who focus on earthly things worship the beast. You may go to church. You may think you worship God. If you focus on earthly things, you may not know it, but you are worshiping the beast. Whatever you are consumed with, whatever you focus on, that's who you worship. Oh, praise the Lord.
So, he will bring fire from heaven. I will baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with spirit and fire. Whatever you focus on, that's what you get on fire for. All who dwell on earth will worship the beast. Listen, the word dwell, to think of, to focus on, to live in. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Those who focus on these things, they may go to church. They belong to this earth. Because where is your treasure, that's where your heart will be. And remember, the earth and the things on the earth will burn up. My question to you is this. Can it be that somebody would go to church, would honestly, would think that he or she worships the Lord, keeps the Sabbath, eats properly, helps in evangelism, worships God, and yet, without knowing, is worshiping the beast? Can it be? Can it be that the coin is lost in the house, is not outside like the lamb, like the sheep, but in the house? And because you are in the house, you think you are okay, and you may not even know that you are lost. You say, hey, I am in the house, I am in the church. The 10 virgins were sleeping. In the Bible, sleep is the symbol for false security. They felt secure because they were virgins, and they were dressed in white, and they were in the church, and they had the light. Can it be that we are in the church at sleep, and we don't know that we don't know? Do you follow me? Revelation chapter 3. You think you are, and you don't know that you are. You remember? Miserable, naked, gold, empty and so on. Blind. Those who are continually dwelling upon this earth, whose minds are focused, consumed with the here and now, they are worshiping the beast. What are you consumed with? What are you stressed with? What are you focusing on? What do you talk about? What do you spend time with? That's who you worship. If you make a list and you are honest with yourself, and on that list you put from morning through night how many hours you spend for God and how many you spend for you. See what has priority to know who you worship. I am not saying that you should give up your job or school. I am saying that in whatever you do, you should do it in God's presence as you did it for God. The little maid in Naaman's house, she was a captive. She was a slave, captured, taken from her country, taken from her family, made a slave. She should have hated Naaman. But she served him, says prophets and kings, as she served God. She served her enemy as she served God. Whatever you do, do it in God's presence. At work, at school, in society, don't be an Adventist of 7 days. Be an Adventist of every day. Whatever you do, do it in a way that you don't focus on these things. You know that Jesus is coming soon. You know that these things will burn. You don't focus on these things. You focus on heaven. You may be here, but you are there already. When they took my father to the police and said, stop bringing Bibles, stop building churches, stop doing evangelism, we are going to take your job. And my father said, I use my job for the church. We are going to take your salary. I already gave it all to the church. Literally, my father would tell my mom every month, keep 10% and give 90. Literally. Literally. And my father had a big salary and he made a lot of money from working private, and also he made a lot of money from beehives. He had 85 beehives. He made like $500,000 a year from honey. Every time the money would come, he would say to mom, how much you got? 400,000. Keep 10% and give 90. And my mom would say, can we keep a little more for our family, for our needs? And my father said, the fire is going to burn it all. We need treasures in heaven. The fire is going to burn it all. Give it to the church. It's secure there. When the police said, we are going to take your money, he said, I don't have any. I gave it all to the church. As soon as I got it, I gave it away. It's safe. We are going to kill you. Well, I'm going to see Jesus. Aren't you afraid? No. Nope. Do you understand? He was not living here anymore. He was living in heaven. When Jesus talked to Zacchaeus, he said to Zacchaeus, today my kingdom has entered your house. When? Not at the second coming. If Jesus doesn't come in your house today, he will not come for you tomorrow. In the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come is not in Greek, in the grammar, future tense. Is not future tense. It's present continuum. It says that God's kingdom should come every day. It says that you should invite God's kingdom in your heart, in your family, in your church, in your life, every day. You need to live here as you live in heaven. Enoch was walking with God. He was living in heaven already. We should be in the world, but Jesus says, not of the world. He made us sit in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2. Where are you supposed to sit? You cannot fight heavenly forces if you are on earthly ground. He comes to save those that have loved his appearing. What do you love? We need to be dwelling in heavenly places. We need to be continually in the Lord. We need to focus on his coming. Dwell on it, love it, desire it, wait for it, talk about it, sing about it. My grandpa, all his life, he died when he was 103. All his life, every second, he was whistling. All his life, during war, even in the bathroom, he was... I said, Grandpa, you always whistle second coming songs. Only second coming songs. He says, son, that's what I live for. That's what I live for. I want Jesus to come. In the Lord, in prayer, it says, pray with all prayers and petitions at all times in spirit. At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan and his whole host tremble. They run like crazy. We fight an invisible enemy. Therefore, we cannot fight with visible methods. We need invisible methods. What are the invisible methods? What is prayer? You talk to somebody that you don't see. You follow me? You talk to somebody invisible. Prayer is an invisible method. What is faith? You believe in something that you don't see, don't smell, don't touch, cannot prove. That's invisible method. Faith. Prayer. Faith. You follow me? And so, faith comes by focusing on invisible things. Now listen. I want to ask you something. Do you hear voices in your head? Yes or no? Because if you don't hear, you may say, am I crazy? You should. Because if you don't hear voices in your head, you are not a Christian. Witches talk to spirits. New Agers talk to spirits, and they are proud of it. Shouldn't we talk to our God? Listen, my wife and I were coming from church. I was a student. And I was talking to my friends from the choir. And I was in front of the church on the sidewalk. And my wife says, honey, we need to go home. I said, we need to go home. Listen, we need to catch the bus. The bus is coming. Just a second. And so she says, well, you walk fast. I'm going to go ahead because I walk slower. And she went ahead. And she looked to me. She stepped off down the sidewalk. And she looked back and says, I'll be waiting for you at the bus station. And as she did that, I saw a car coming extremely fast, like 80, 90 kilometers per hour. Like a bullet. And she was looking at me. And I said, Dana! I screamed. But she says, what? And she stepped in front of the car. In that moment, when she stepped in front of the car, she did this. And the car. And she says, I don't know what happened, but I felt a hand holding me so strong that it hurt my stomach. And that, because she was like this. And she says, that's how the car didn't hit me. What was that? God's angels. He will send his angels to put their palm. One time my father was giving Bibles into a city. Now in that city, during communism, the police warned my father, if you come here, we'll arrest you, put you in prison, and you'll never be free again. My father says, I will do God's work. I would rather obey God than obey you. So my father and his friend Benjamin filled their backpack with books and Bibles and spirit of prophecy, and they went to the town. But to go in the town and to exit the town, you would have to go over a deep gorge on a bridge. Guess what? They gave Bibles. When they were supposed to exit the town, the police learned that they are there, so the police was waiting at the bridge for them to arrest them. And Benjamin, my father's friend, says, what should we do? And my father says, let's go in the forest. There is an old hanging bridge in the forest. And Benjamin says, no. That bridge is 150 years old on two cables with wood boards that are rotten and broken. It was a hanging, moving bridge on two cables with wood that was over 100 years old, rotten and broken. And he says, the gorge is deep all the way down the mountain. And way down there, you see the river. If we fall, we'll die when we hit those rocks. My father says, you'll not go to heaven. You don't have a God. You are afraid. So they go in the forest. And they walk on the bridge. And my father walks first. And Benjamin comes behind. And Benjamin screams to my father, Pavel! And my father says, what? He says, look where you are stepping. My father looks and says, oopsie. He was stepping on nothing. There was no boards. It was air. Nothing. There were over six white boards, literally, completely missing. There was nothing there. One cable in the left, one cable in the right, and no six boards in between. Missing. And my father put one step on air, second step on air, and then Benjamin says, look where you are stepping. He says, okay. And Benjamin says, what am I going to do? I cannot jump so far. And my father says, you need to have faith. He says, no, never in the world I will step on the air. And my father says, he will send his angels. Well, I'm not sure he does it for me. I'm not going to try it. And Benjamin threw the backpack with books because it was too heavy to my dad. And then he went on cables with his hands to cross that opening. Who protected my father's foot? In heaven, angels are going to show us the movie. And we will just love those movies. Now let me tell you this. We do not understand, as we should, the great conflict between invisible agency, the controversy between loyal and disloyal angels. Now listen carefully. Over every man, ladies, you can relax. Over every man, good and evil angels strive. Right now, right here, over every single person, right now, right here, over you, over you, over you, over you, over every single one, there are good and evil angels fighting for your thoughts, fighting for what you think, fighting for what you say, fighting for what you do, fighting for where you look, fighting for your actions, fighting for your decisions, and we don't know. And Satan says the quotation, if you keep reading, wants us to be ignorant so we don't pray, because if we don't pray, we are exposed and vulnerable. We should be aware that there is a war. Evil angels are above you every day, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and whatever. Every second, every step, every action. You say, well, that's a small thing. Small foxes ruin big vineyards. And so, for supernatural war, we need supernatural power. The disciples received supernatural power only after prayer in the upper room. Remember, there was a prophet, and he was on the mountain with his servant. And in the morning, when the servant opened the window to do exercise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, you know? When he opened the window, he says, wow, we are surrounded by armies. What are we going to do? And the prophet says, Lord, open his eyes. Why did the prophet know and the servant didn't? Those that pray and study and invite God, they sense God's presence. Listen carefully now. I want you to read this quotation. Those who make Christ their daily companion and familiar friend will feel the powers of an unseen world around them. By looking unto Jesus, they will become assimilated to his image. By beholding him, they will become changed to the divine pattern. 4 Testimonies 6:16. The faces of men and women in the talk with God, to whom the invisible world is a reality, express the peace of God. They carry with them the atmosphere of heaven. Is the invisible world a reality to you? Do you sense God's power? Is it real? Because if not, you are not ready. There is no time to lose. My friends, there is no time to lose. We cannot afford to play games with Satan. In this war, we win only by beholding Jesus, by dwelling in heaven. You need to live in heaven. You need, while you are here, to be there. If we are to win this conflict, we must experience heaven now. We must have an invisible friend. We must walk with him and talk with him. And he walks with me and he talks with me. You follow me? You must continually be aware of Jesus' presence. You must continually be in his presence. You must pray without ceasing. You must be connected. Otherwise, you are not safe. You must be in God's presence. You must be in the Lord. You must be in prayer. You follow me? Otherwise, you lose. You don't have to fight. You just have to invite God's presence. Do you hear voices in your head? Because the Bible says, when the Spirit will come, he will tell you. God talked to Abraham, God talked to Moses, God talked to Joseph, God talked to Daniel, God talked to Paul. They are human beings. Shouldn't God talk to you? The Bible says, he who has ears to hear, my sheep hear my voice. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the path. Now listen. In the manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God, some, now this is really bad, really dangerous. Some people want revival, and some people are afraid of revival. Because they say, what if we experience the fake revival? Therefore, they are so afraid of the fake that they experience no revival at all. And there are these two extremes. Some will experience a fake revival, and some will experience no revival, and only a group will experience real revival. Do you understand? In this manifestation that will lighten the world with the glory of God, some will see only something which in their blindness they think is dangerous. Oh, that group is praying too much. There is never too much prayer. Something which will arouse their fear and they will brace themselves to resist the revival. The third angel message will not be comprehended. The light will be called a false light. Wow! Make sure that you are so connected with God and you study the Word so much that you will not go in either extreme. You will not be afraid of revival. You will not follow a false revival. You will be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Lord. Now listen. Anything that distracts you from preparing for the coming crisis, from focusing on heaven, from study the Word, from prayer, anything could be good things, family, school, job, working for the church, anything that distracts you from prayer, from study the Word, from preparing, anything that prevents you from inviting Christ in your life, is from Satan. If the Son of God felt the need of prayer, how much more we should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of fervent, constant prayer? Unless we follow our leader closely, Satan will obtain victory over us. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to listen. In the morning, I pray and then I wait expectantly. We often get nothing from prayer because we are in hurry. We are sick people in hurry. We drive the car, and if there are three lines at the stoplight, we look to see which line is shorter. We go shopping, and if there are three lines at the cashier, we look to see which one is shorter. And if the lines are equal, we look to see which cashier moves faster. And at the stoplight, if the lines are as so many cars on the left and as many cars on the right, we look to see, is this a Buick or a Porsche? Because the Porsche would go faster, so I'm going to go behind the Porsche. We are a society in hurry. Do you follow me? We have no time to pray, no time to study. When we pray in hurry and then leave. And we miss the blessing. Hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual growth. You cannot afford to hurry when you go in God's presence. Go to sleep earlier. Wake up earlier. And spend quality time in prayer and study. Because that's what would keep you in the final crisis. You cannot hurry in prayer and study. You can hurry anywhere else, but not when you pray and you study. Jesus in prayer was never in hurry. Our Father in heaven, blah, 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 amen. That's no prayer, that's poetry. If you want to really pray, you spend time with your God. Be still and know that I am God. The word still is Rapha. And know, the word know is Yada. And the translation is Rapha means not to keep quiet, but to calm down, not be in hurry, not be anxious, not be stressed. You don't need to come to God in hurry. You don't need to come with all your problems. God, Ellen White says, doesn't need to be informed. He knows your problems. He knows your hair. He knows your life. He knew every day before you were born. He knew every problem. He knew every thought. There is nothing hidden from Him. Don't be anxious. Don't try to solve your problems. He knows your problems. When you come in God's presence, try to know Him, to seek Him rather than to seek help and blessings. That's Rapha. Be still. Calm down. Don't try to solve problems. Get to know me, because to know me is eternal life. Get to have a relationship with me. That's what would solve your real problem. And Yada, and know that I am God. Yada is not to have a theoretical knowledge of God. Satan knows theoretically God, and he will be lost. Yada is what God told Adam and Eve, go and sleep together and have babies. Yada means, have an intimate relationship with me. Get close to me. When you come in prayer, calm down. Do not hurry. Seek an intimate, close relationship with your God. Many in their season of devotion will fail to receive the blessings because they are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press to the circle of Christ's loving presence for a moment, not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they go back to work. Education 260. We must learn to spend time with God. That's where we prepare for the conflict. In prayer and study. Preparation should be made by diligent study of the word. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to finish because we are tired, it's late. Each day, consecrate yourselves and your children to God for that day. Otherwise, you are not safe. There will be a great tribulation like never before. Fix your eyes on God. Focus on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Dwell on heavenly things. If you dwell on earthly things, you worship the beast. If you dwell on heavenly things, you worship God. You keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind dwells on you. Prayer is the breath of the soul. You don't breathe only 5 minutes a day. It's the secret of spiritual power. Brings the heart into contact with the spring of life. Neglect the exercise of prayer and you lose your hold on God. Prayer of faith is the strength of the Christian that will prevail against Satan. God calls us to come out and separate from the world. If we continue to link up with the world and look at every matter from a worldly standpoint, we will become like the world. If we are to win this conflict and get to heaven, we must experience heaven now. Let's close with a story. Probably you know the story. How many of you know Dr. Cluzet? Dr. Cluzet and Lisa Cluzet? Okay. Dr. Cluzet now works in the S in Korea, in that division. Okay. He used to be at the North American division with the ministerial, the ministerial and the evangelism or something like that. He used to be my teacher. When I was in Southern Adventist University, he was my teacher. And we had a revival weekend. And during that revival weekend, he told us about prayer and study as the single safety against Satan in the final crisis. He said, Jesus is coming soon. The greatest crisis of all times will come soon. Only those that pray seriously and study the word seriously would make it. And then he said, only those that spend time in prayer and study will be filled with God's power and fire. And then he said, my wife was angry with me. And he told us a story. He said, my wife said, I don't know why God answers your prayers and doesn't answer my prayers. You pray for the sick and they are healed. I pray for the sick and nobody gets healed. You pray that God would solve this and it happens. I pray and it doesn't happen. And Dr. Cluzet said, you don't pray. Oh yes, I do pray. You pray 5 minutes and go. I wake up at 4 and pray until 7. I pray 3 hours a day. Big prayer, big answers. Small prayer, small answers. She said, well, I have a real job. I don't have the time that you do. When they say that, I feel like, come and spend one day with me and then you know my job. I have no food, no home, no bed. I sleep on the plane. I get 80 to 100 emails a day, 60, 70 phone calls a day. I measured one time, I work 70 to 80 hours a week. When they say, oh, you pastors don't have a real job, I feel like, you know, but then I remember and repent and let them live. So she said to him, I have a real job, I have no time to pray. He said, no, you have other priorities. You focus on your job. You focus on your house. You focus on your life. You focus on yourself. And then he said to her, you worship idols. Hello? Because you trust the work of your hands. And Ellen White says, whatever we trust, it's our idol. And she says, if we trust the work of our hands, that's an idol. If you trust your job, that's an idol. If you trust your education, if you trust your house, whatever you trust, that's your God. When you rely on your job, that's your God. And he said to her, you trust your job instead of trusting God. You spend more time with your job than God. So you worship idols. She was like, whoa. And he said to her, if you get friends over, you spend 2 hours talking, but you don't have 2 hours to spend in prayer. You need to discipline yourself. Go to sleep early, wake up early, and set up, cut off time specifically for God. Dedicate time for prayer and study. And by the way, Ellen White says, quote, prayer and study go together. You cannot just pray without study the Bible. You cannot just study without prayer. They go together. And he said to her, you need to set time aside for prayer and study. And she said, well, I sleep hard. I cannot wake up. He told us that she really sleeps hard. You could chop wood on her body and she would not wake up. That's a figure of speech. She told me that when somebody moves in the house in the night, he wakes up in a second. But even if he would whistle and scream, she would not wake up. She sleeps so hard. So she said to him, I sleep hard, I cannot wake up. And he said to her, ask God to wake you up. Because if you honestly mean it, he will wake you up. Say, Lord, please wake me up so I can start the day with you. In the morning, he awakens my ear. You follow me? I used to be in the army. I was a lieutenant. And everybody would wake up at 5:30. I woke them up with my trumpet. But I asked God to wake me up before, so I had time to study before the day started. And God would wake me up around 3:34. And I would pray hidden under the blanket with a flashlight and study so they could not catch me, because I would go to prison if they caught me studying. And I prayed, God woke me up earlier, I prayed under the blanket, studied under the blanket, and then at 5:30 I woke everybody up. God woke me up every day. So Ron Cluzet told her, you need to pray that God would wake you up. Well, she did that. That night, she said, Lord, please wake me up so I would start the day with you. I want to change my life. I want to start with prayer and study. Satan doesn't want you to hear this. And she prayed. And by the way, you need to mean what you pray. If you pray just to say words that you don't mean, God will not mean it. You need to pray in spirit and truth. You need to pray with all your heart and in the truth, what Jesus would ask you to pray for. And so, she prayed with all her heart, please, Lord, wake me up. Use cold water if it takes. Just wake me up. She didn't say that. Now, they had an old telephone with a wheel, dial up. You remember? The old telephone. And they had an old answering machine with a tape that you would have to rewind and then listen. And they had a caller ID with big red letters. Old stuff. Some of you may know that, but that means that you are old. And so she prayed that God will wake her up early to start the day with prayer and study. At 5:15 a.m., she heard the telephone trrt, trrt, ringing. Trrt, trrt. And the telephone was ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, who knows, 15 minutes, who knows. And she was like, oh, between the sleep and wake being up. She was like in a dream, struggling to wake up. And she says, man, I think the telephone is ringing. And the telephone kept trrt, trrt. And eventually she says, the telephone is ringing. Wow. And eventually she woke up and she says, why doesn't my husband answer the phone? Every time we sleep, when the phone rings, as soon as the phone, my husband jumps and picks up the phone. He sleeps very light. And she looks to him. And he's sleeping like a baby. And he doesn't hear the phone. And she says, why doesn't the answering machine kick in? Because the answering machine should answer after the fourth ring. And she looks to the answering machine and the answering machine is on. But it doesn't kick in. And she looks to the caller ID and he says 0000. Who calls at 5:15 a.m. that my husband doesn't hear and the answering machine doesn't answer and the caller ID doesn't show? So she picks up the phone angry. Why do you call at 5:15? Hello? And she hears a voice. Lisa, I'm here waiting for you. It's time to pray. When Dr. Cluzet told us in the class that story, I said, I got to ask Lisa. So I went to Lisa Cluzet. I said, you tell me the story. She told me the story. And she started to cry. And she said, I never realized that Jesus is by my bed, waiting for me to pray, to spend time with him. And I love sleep more than I love Jesus. And I say I love Jesus. And she says, I will never start a day without prayer and study. I would rather die. I would rather lose my job. I would rather lose my life. I will never, for the rest of my life, miss my time with my Jesus. In the Bible, David says in Psalm, when I go to sleep, you are by my bed. Through the watches of the night, when I wake up, you are still there. In the morning, when I wake up, you are still there, waiting for me. God is waiting for you to have a life of prayer and study. It is time to put God first. It is time to make a decision. It is time to pray and study the Word. If not today, then when? That's the key of power. When the disciples dedicated themselves to prayer, the power came. When the power came, they were revived. They would preach, thousands would get baptized. Before, nobody would get baptized. Now, thousands would get baptized. Peter would walk, and the sick were healed. Dead were resurrected. Miracles happened. Jesus says, you will do greater things. Ellen White says, the work would close with greater power than it started. It's time for the church to make prayer and study a serious matter. So we will be revived and finish the work and go home. God is calling you to that. And you need to make a decision right now. And say, Lord, wake me up tomorrow morning, whatever time you want. If God would wake you up at 2 a.m., don't study in the bed. The bed would pull you back to sleep. The bed smells sleep. Get up. Go in a different room. Have a place dedicated for prayer. Go to that prayer place. And don't stay in a comfortable position, because you will fall asleep. And spend time talking to God and studying the Word. Because if you make prayer a lifestyle, if you make prayer the breath of the soul, if you make prayer and study your life, you will be filled with fire and spirit. And God will transform you and people around you. And you will be filled with power. And things will happen beyond your expectations or prayers or dreams. It's time for the church not only to have the doctrines, but to have the power. And finish the work. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a privilege to talk with the God of the universe. You invite us to spend time with you in your presence, in prayer, where we talk to you, and study of the Word where you talk to us. Help us understand the value, the treasure, the privilege, the blessing, the joy of prayer. Help us be thirsty for you. Help us love you more than anything, more than job, more than school, more than life, more than health, more than anything else. Help us make you first in our life, and then trust that you will take care of the other things. Fill us with your Spirit. Revive us, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious name and in His merits alone. And we believe that you answered, and we praise you, Lord. Amen. God bless you.